Hi, this is Bob Familiar. Recently, I had a chance to catch up with Chris Bowen, Steve Resnick, and Rich Crane, authors of the new book, Essential Windows Communication Foundation. Here's what they have to say.
I'm here with Steve Resnick, National Technology Director of the Microsoft Technology Centers here in the United States. Steve, along with Rich Crane and Chris Bowen, who we'll be talking to in just a little bit, recently published a book called Essential WCF, all about Windows Communication Foundation. Steve, tell us, what's so compelling about WCF?
When I started looking into WCF, I guess 3 or 4 years ago now, when Microsoft was first putting the product together and going through the betas, I was really struck by the breadth that it covered. WCF is effectively Microsoft's unified approach to distributed computing. So that's, of course, a large space. Distributed computing covers everything from desktop to server and server to server and peer communications, covers simple communications like you might find with RSS feeds to the very complex communications that you might see in financial trading systems. So really across the spectrum, doing the simple to the more complex, WCF does encompass that broad spectrum of technologies. In the past, or even with other technologies, you may have to go to 3 or 4 different programming models to really cover that type of breadth. You may use one technique for queuing, you may use another technique for maybe very secure, very fast binary communication from server to servers, and you might use a third technique for more consumer-oriented web-type communications. So WCF, what was compelling to me and what really struck me as quite a foundation is to really unify all that together and make it approachable to developers and architects.
Well, great lead into my next question. What are the key things that architects and developers need to know to get started with WCF?
Right. So WCF, again, very broad, but what's great about it is that you can start small. You can start with the simple pieces. And a lot of the literature, of course, including our book, and the documentation and the blogs talk about the beginnings of WCF is really the ABCs. The ABCs stand for the address, the binding, and the contract of a service. So the address is, of course, where the service might be located or where the service is located on the Internet or on the network. The binding is how you're going to talk to that service, and the contract is the language that you use and the specifics of what that service does. Now, that sounds like a lot, but really the ABCs are quite simple. If you take the simplest case where you're going to simply implement a class and you'd like that class to be accessible via web service protocols or more secure, faster protocols, again, focus on the ABCs. The class effectively forms the contract. It becomes the signature of the service. The binding, in the simplest case, if you're going to host this in IIS, is going to be using the HTTP protocol. And if you want this service to be interoperable with the broadest reach of clients, you'll use the basic HTTP binding. So the binding is decided for you, and the address is also decided for you. The address is the address of the web server. So your address, binding, and contract are really defined pretty well for you, and then from there you can take it quite a bit further.
Now, every enterprise, at least in my experience, it's a little different when you get into their environments. Is WCF able to be modified and extended to support each enterprise's needs?
Yeah, it is. It is. In fact, one of the most compelling features at an architectural level of WCF is really the structure of how the whole product is put together. It's built with extensibility really as a core attribute of the product. So there's something in WCF called behaviors. And behaviors are really the approach or the architecture on which WCF is built to enable developers to insert their code at about a dozen key points in the message processing pipeline. So as an example, you might want to have some type of specific auditing code that maybe a company or an enterprise requires such that every message that's received by the service is validated, logged, checked, some security principles applied to it before that message is even allowed into the system. So behaviors enable you to write code and insert it at that point. Or you might want some code to run after the message is received by the service, but before it's dispatched to an operation. So that way, if you have parameters, if you have account information, security information, customer information that you'd like to validate before any method ever sees that message, you can insert that into one of the behavior extension points. So whether it's on the client or whether it's on the server using behaviors, you can really take a whole variety of requirements or a whole variety of enterprise needs and bake that into the infrastructure so that rather than addressing each of those needs in every class, in every method, in every service, you do it more systematically so that it's really immediately and automatically applied to all the services that are hosted on your network for WCF.
And now I'm talking with Rich Crane, a technical architect at the MTC, one of the other authors of Essential WCF. Rich, what chapters did you get to focus on in this book?
Well, I focused on six chapters, channels, binding, serialization, peer networking, programmable web, and also the appendix. So a lot going on there.
What are some of the key takeaways for developers?
Well, we want to focus on kind of two main areas. First, we wanted developers to have a core understanding of the architecture of WCF. So throughout the book, you'll actually hear us talking about the service model and the channel model in the book. More specifically, when I wrote about the channels chapter, we focused on the channel model within WCF. But then we wanted to go beyond architecture into practical guidance that a developer could use in their everyday work. So you'll find that throughout the book, when we talk about certain topics, we'll give a lot of best practices and guidance on what they should do and how they should actually use WCF. So as an example, in the bindings chapter, we go into pretty good detail on when to use what. So we cover most of the out-of-the-box bindings and tell developers, you know, here's where you want to use, say, the NetTCP binding, and here's where you may want to use the WSHTP binding. We also get into some really good features of WCF that help you develop distributed applications that in using previous technologies, you may have had some limitations in the past, which WCF just overcomes for you.
Now, writing books is not your primary job. And I know that you guys put a lot of effort and time into this book. Were some aspects of writing this book actually fun?
Well, we spent a very long time writing this book. We actually started prior to .NET Framework 3.0 shipping and didn't release until just before .NET Framework 3.5. But yes, a lot of it was fun. In fact, more recently, I had the pleasure of writing the programmable web chapter, which is new in .NET Framework 3.5. And I also wrote the peer networking chapter, which is available in .NET Framework 3.0. Both those chapters were very exciting. The peer networking, in my opinion, is probably one of the most underwritten about topics of WCF. If you go on the web, you find other books, you know, you'll just find very little, if any, information about that particular topic. And we dedicate a whole chapter in the book to peer networking. The programmable web is very exciting. This is where web developers can actually build rich internet applications using services. So we cover a lot of detail on AJAX-enabled applications using WCF, how to integrate it with ASP.NET, and we go even further with topics like syndication with RSS and ATOM. So you're going to find a lot of really great stuff for you to build next-generation applications in this book.
Oh, that does sound very interesting. Now, you were also responsible for writing the appendix. Now, is that because you have extensive skills in alphabetizing?
No. There were many topics that we wanted to talk about in this book that we just couldn't find in other locations, either on the web or in other books. And they didn't necessarily have homes in other chapters, but we felt it was important for architects and developers to understand certain aspects of WCF. For example, we go into some advanced topics around network load balancing and how to integrate with Silverlight. And obviously, Silverlight is a technology that is ongoing. So folks using some of these technologies and doing some of these things today can get some deeper understanding that they might not find someplace else.
Hi, this is Bob, and I'm with Chris Bowen, developer of Angelus in the Northeast, and he, along with Steve Resnick and Rich Crane, just finished up Essential WCF. And I understand you had responsibility for some of the most important chapters in the book, at least...
Absolutely.
The diagnostics, the error handling, exception handling, and security.
That's right.
These are the most sexy parts of WCF.
Let's fix it. Yeah. So definitely, yeah, diagnostics, really interesting area. Really good story with .NET 3.5 and Visual Studio 2008. A lot of the tools that have been brought to bear really across the board for WCF. But specifically diagnostics, really one of the areas that I'm really excited about. And you and I had done a lot of events in the past together
Yes.
in the community, and you know, we've talked about WCF, and one of the things that is interesting to talk about with customers is about how you can handle these, really, in some cases, very complex distributed applications and monitoring what's happening on a day-to-day basis. And if something does go bump in the night, how can you quickly diagnose the source of an issue, and is it even your company that's causing the issue in a broadly distributed system? Zeroing in on the source of a problem quickly is something that WCF really helps you do quickly.
So do you have to write a lot of custom code, or does WCF have some built-in capabilities for diagnostics?
Actually, it's all based on the system.diagnostics namespace, which has been around for a while. Things that ASP.NET itself take advantage of, WCF plugs into that same infrastructure as well. And out of the box, you can just turn on via configuration whether you would want certain things to be tracked. For example, you could track the contents of messages as they're going across the wire at different points, and you can also trace the different activities that are happening throughout your various services that are in WCF, all by turning on configuration, and then taking the output of those that collected information and assessing those with tools. Now, the really good story with this is that there actually is a tool built into the SDK for Windows called the Trace Viewer, the Service Trace Viewer, that you can use to look at both the logs of overall activity with WCF and also the detailed information for each message to find out, you know, why did this particular message fail, why did this call fail. You could look at the actual contents and say, oh, well, for some reason we didn't supply this particular required field. And you can go and back up and find out who sent that. And in a very visual way, you can see the entire stream of information across not just one machine, but many machines if you're tracing across the whole system.
That's really interesting. So WCF is not introducing something brand new. It's building on capabilities already there in the .NET framework, but then adds in a set of tools to do the post-mortem, the analysis.
Yeah, that's right. System.diagnostics, an existing set of tools with system. You could use trace listeners and trace writers and basically trace sources to emit information and also to receive the information as you wish. If you don't care to, then don't plug something into it. It's a very pluggable system and extendable, so if you need to add your own capabilities in certain areas, you're free to extend it as you wish. But again, like I was saying, the out-of-the-box story is really quite easy. You just enable a few things with configuration and then go ahead and assess the results with the tools that you have.
Great. And now the other couple of chapters you had, exception handling.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is something that architects and developers, it's foremost in their mind. They always make sure they type in their try-catch before they write any code, correct?
Yeah, that's it's always the first code that's tested.
Yes.
It never gets out of production without having been looked at.
Yeah.
We all know that's you know, basic 101 stuff, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as you know, I mean, diagnostics wouldn't exist if everything that we wrote worked perfectly out of the box, right? So the exception handling story with the WCF is also very strong. There's a lot of options that you have in terms of how detailed you want to be in your approach to handling exceptions throughout your system. So for most developers, it's really important to understand, first of all, what happens when you don't have exception policies in place, because exceptions can propagate up the hierarchy of an event, of a service call, and without getting into too much detail with this conversation, can cause entire sessions to be torn down and have to be reestablished to have communications continue between a caller and a service. That's if you don't have a plan in place to handle anything that was thrown as an exception, say, by the service caller, the service code. Now, there are a lot of other things that you can do as a coder, as an architect, to put policies in place and code in place to capture things that go bump in the night and to, you know, first of all, to send more information across the wire to a caller so you could have a better application experience to say, this is exactly what went wrong. Maybe in this case I could retry. Maybe in our case I'll log the exception and abort. But those are kinds of things that you can wire up with, in most cases, a minimal amount of code to get that to happen.
So what's interesting is that, you know, error handling is tough enough as it is, right? Add in the fact that you're now building distributed systems, and so your exceptional handling has to also be distributed, and your clients need a graceful way to be informed and to handle those. So you cover that in some detail in this book, which is sounds to be incredibly useful. Another tough area, I think, for in the area of services, which is security, is understanding all the implications of securing services, securing messages, when to use encryption, things of that sort. So tell me a little bit about what you cover here in that chapter.
Sure. I think security is definitely one of the more comprehensive subjects that there's just so much to understand, because the job you have at hand with security is probably the most important job. Of all the things that you want to do well with the distributed application, I think security is probably top of that list. You could have the best service giving out great information, and all that really doesn't matter if you can't be assured that you're giving it to the right audience, that it's being maintained in a secure fashion over the wire. And this is where security and WCF really come to the forefront. There are four main areas for security that are talked about in the chapters in the book. Really the authentication and authorization stories, two key concepts that we want to talk about knowing, first of all, who are you speaking with, and not just from a services perspective, but also as a client. I want to ensure that the service that I'm calling is really the service that I expected to be calling.
Right.
And so to have assurance from both perspectives that we're dealing with the correct party, that's the authentication. Authentication is correct. Authorization is the flip side of that, to say, well, I know who you are now. Now I can give you permission to do the appropriate things on my system to view certain kinds of data and have certain operations. A critical part of security. And the other two would be the integrity of the overall message exchange back and forth. I want to ensure when I send a message to your service or vice versa back to the caller that it hasn't been tampered with, that someone in the middle hasn't received that message and modified some of the payload and then, you know, sent it along the path for nefarious reasons or just to, you know, whatever purpose that may be. It's not something we want to allow. And then finally is the privacy of that message, to ensure that if we wanted to encrypt the content so no one else could view its material, we could go ahead and do that. Now, these concerns may not be universally required for every single service that we have, but they are all available within WCF. And you can go and say, maybe I don't need to authorize my callers, but I do want to know that they haven't been tampered with in the message that are going back and forth, or I want to encrypt the content. Those combinations of various things that you might want to do are all supported by WCF, either via code or configuration or a combination of both.
Well, I think even if you're just getting started developing services, or you're an old hat, this book right here is going to give you the tools and the knowledge necessary to get started, or in the case of security, diagnostics, and exception handling, do some fairly advanced things with your services. And in this age of software plus services, this book is key. Essential Windows Communication Foundation, Chris Bowen, Steve Resnick, and Rich Crane. It's a great book.